Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 118, verses 19 through 29. Psalm 118, verses 19 through 29. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. This morning we're looking at the subject of thanksgiving. And the psalm you just heard read is tied in very closely with thanksgiving. And it's one of the psalms known for the praises there of God. And one of the things that I see and I talk about this every time the holidays come around, you start hearing people quoting the Bible or sounding very sanctified sounding, but they'll get to the point of saying, this is the time of the year we want to be thankful. But they won't talk about who to be thankful to. I don't know if you saw this Thanksgiving commercial that came on from Dodge in their pickup truck. And they talk about praise this and praise that. And Rachel said to me, I'm expecting any minute now they're going to say praise God. And that's what I was wanting to hear. They didn't say that at all. They get down to the end and the whole slogan for Dodge, their pickup trucks, was praise the work. Praise the work. It sounds like humanism. And, you know, some of those commercials can be discouraging. I do like Walmart's commercial. You maybe seen this one where you have different servicemen saying what they're thankful for. And speaking so in prayer. I wish they could finish and say, in Jesus' name, amen. That would have been a nice ending for Walmart. But nonetheless, there is the sentiment there of thanksgiving. We want to encourage the world around us to thank God. Thank the God of Jesus Christ. Thank him in Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to look at this morning. When we look at this Psalm 118, we see that the gates for which we enter God and to thank God is righteousness. If you're thankful for God and you want to praise him, you do so in righteousness. And one thing that stands out also from this passage is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. And so it says here in the passage, the rejected stone becomes the cornerstone of salvation. And that's what Jesus was. He was rejected by the people and by the religious leaders, and he ended up being the cornerstone. I always wondered about when I look up here at the front of the building and how this was constructed. And to think about the one stone that might have been, you know, put aside, said, I don't know where we're going to put this, and actually have it be a keystone in the building of it would be an amazing thing. But we get that kind of picture with Jesus Christ. He is the kind of stone that many people would say that's going to have no place and no fitting with us. And yet he is the cornerstone of our life and of our faith, of everything. And it's what we understand our meaning. And so Psalm 18 brings that to our mind. Psalm 18 also encourages us to continue to look at God and his marvelous works, and that he has made this day, every day, for rejoicing and gladness. And if we thank God, it'd be much easier for us to thank him. It'd be much easier for us to rejoice and be glad in him. And we're going to look at some more about that today, because for us to be well-balanced as individuals, as Christians, to be optimistic, to be hopeful, to be always looking forward and committed to God, it includes thanksgiving, to thank God. And we're going to look at some passages about that, and one in particular that's on my mind. All right, and the fourth thing I see here that stands out to me from Psalm 118 is that we thank God for his steadfast love. It endures forever. The very thought that your Creator loves you, his love is unending, his love is unconditional. That is a very secure thought. It helps us when we think about the needs that we have as individuals. And some have said at their very core, everybody has very specific needs. Like we need to have unconditional love, and we need an ultimate purpose. The very core of every single one of us. But I believe we see these things in the scriptures. And God provides them. He's the one. He is the source of love. 1 John 4 and verse 8 says, God is love. We go to him as that source. But I ask you this question this morning. Does humanity have a deep need to give thanks? I believe we do. I think it's deep within us that we look around at how we've been blessed and that we're alive and the things that we have been given. We should have that desire to give thanks. On the other hand, there are some people who rebel against that, who won't recognize the person or whom it is to be thanked. And with that thanksgiving, the lack of it really hurts them. It hurts them spiritually. It hurts their life as a whole. It hurts them internally. If you are not a thankful person, it will make your meaning of your life very empty. You have no purpose, no focus when you don't know who you are to thank. So are we missing out on that? Are we feeling empty? I think it really gets back to we have within us an ingrained desire to thank. And to thank who? I believe very much to thank our Creator for what He's given us. We are Christians. We are all made individually. All people are made in God's image. And He has made us in a way of which we want to turn to Him and be grateful for what He has given us. You know, maybe people find the need for thanksgiving because they should, because that they have the needs in their life have been fulfilled. And you might think about it, you know, some people would say, well, I've struggled with hunger and I struggle to put food on the table. I struggle with finding a home and those things. But if you have love in your life, if you have those qualities, if you have purpose and meaning, you can endure going a time without food and you can go endure the time of going without shelter and without a home. But if you have those things, you can have a good foundation. You ever been shocked by someone thanking you? You do something, you don't expect to thank you, but you get it anyways, and just the sound of it shocks you. I have felt that way. Have you ever been surprised by you? Have you ever seen someone become surprised by you thanking them? I've had that before. You know, somebody does something for you, and they don't expect to thank you or anything, and you say it, and it makes them pause. And they kind of look at you and think, yeah, okay, that's something I should be doing. So we think about these things. And, you know, I'm also surprised as well as how we can often thank God vaguely. And what I mean is this. Sometimes when we pray and we thank God for what we have, we keep it very general. We say, I thank you, God, for my home. I thank you for my family. Thank you for my work. Instead of being very specific, of saying thank you for so-and-so and naming that person and talking about the details of which you're thankful for them. And especially when we thank God, that we not that we just simply say to God, thank you for all these things, but we say, God, thank you for being the source of love and enrichment and meaning in my life. Thank you for these things that you've given me in detail. I thank you for the Bible that I can pick up and read, that I have that. So I want to encourage you this morning to think a little bit more about that and to pray in detail. I want to look this morning also at the life of a leper. So what would a leper have to be thankful for? Well, they do have their life, but they're often secluded and by themselves. And then we're going to look at an account in a minute in Luke chapter 17. If you have your Bible, you can go over and mark that already, because that'll be our reading from up here to look at Luke chapter 17 and the 10 lepers there. So they group themselves together, and though they're going through those hard times, they go and they appeal to Jesus Christ to be healed. But let's look at what it's like to be a leper. How would you imagine that? Now, the leprosy we describe in the Bible can be anything from any kind of boils on your skin. And there are those that were contagious, and they might resemble something like smallpox. And if you had anything like that back then, it was very smart that God gave Israelites an instruction that you quarantine those people. But often that concept, the idea of being quarantined, is not a very good thought. To be alone, to be secluded like that, and especially the way it would have been like that back then. I think we should think about that as we think about these 10 lepers that are going to call to Christ. In Leviticus chapter 13, 45 to 46, God gives this instruction. He says, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. Can you imagine living like that? because of the disease that you've had. And of course, you're going to want to call out to God and come to Him. Now, if you'd been healed of that disease, how would you thank God? If anybody in here, if you've ever experienced a life-threatening disease, and you've been able to endure it for a long period of time or even have that disease removed from you, you thank God. I praise you. Thank you, God, that I don't have to endure this, that I don't have to have that threat or pressure on me anymore, that I think that I'm going to have an enduring life, that I can be more committed to Him because He's the one who's given me life and has caused it to go on and to endure. But I think most of us as Christians might act like these other nine lepers we're about to see here. I want you to look at this in detail. This will be our main lesson this morning. Look in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Let's make some observations here. So Jesus is traveling. This is the end of His life, in the period of His life, in the end of His ministry. And He's heading toward Jerusalem, where He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be crucified. But on the way, this is what happens. Verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When He saw them, He said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, remember with Naaman, he didn't like the instruction that he received to be baptized, essentially. It was the same word there, actually, seven times in the Jordan to be healed. But these men, these lepers, are given this instruction by Jesus, and they all go. He says, go show yourselves to the priest, which means go show to the priest whether you're clean or not. And that was their job back then. So the lepers do that, and on the way they're cleansed. And then listen, verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, were not the 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And He said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now I don't know what happened with the other lepers. I assume they remained cleansed. But as we look at the 9 lepers and we look at the one who stood out, he went back and thanked Jesus Christ. I believe we as Christians can very much relate to this. When we look at what happens here, many times when God gives us an instruction to obey, we say, okay, I obeyed, and we start thinking in our head different thoughts. The thought that should be in our mind is to go and to thank God and to praise Him. So there's the things that I see here in Luke 17. So, you know, distance is no reason not to pursue Christ. So lepers are alone. They think that they can't approach anybody, but they're still going to pursue God. They're going to go to Jesus Christ and seek Him out. Secondly, we see this. Going to the priest demonstrates hope. They had hope. Yes, they had some level of faith. All 10 of them did. We also see this. The thankful person, he humbled himself. He fell on his face before Jesus. And he did not care if other people heard him thanking God. I think many people today, you know, God blesses them. They don't want to go out and thank Him openly because they don't want people to think that they're strange or peculiar or anything like that. But I think it's a wonderful thing to thank God openly, vocally. So I encourage you this morning, if you are thankful, thank God. Some things we want to look at as well. Why did the 9 not return to thank Christ? And so Jesus looked at him and said, it demonstrated a lack of faith. They went on their way and they thought, you know, everything they needed had been fulfilled. How many of us would have gone back to thank Jesus? Jesus tells you, go to the temple, show yourselves clean. You're cleansed on the way. You're going to do that. And would you have thought to go back and thank Jesus? So here's some observations here on why we might be a part of that 9 and why the 9 would have done that. So the reason that people do not thank God is because they got what they want. Those 9 lepers, they got what they want. They asked Jesus to have mercy on them. He heals them. They're going to move on with their life. They got what they want. And some people treat God that way. I got what I want from Jesus. I got what I wanted from God. That's the end of it. I don't have any more time or need to thank Him or praise Him. Some, on the other hand, maybe they simply are distracted in continuing life. You know, the lepers are thinking, I've been healed. I'm going to go see the priest, and then I haven't seen my wife in so many years. I haven't seen my family in so many years. their priority changes to something else. They start thinking about, I'm going to get back to work. I'm going to start my life again. They become wholly distracted. That's the nine. And they forget about going back and thanking God. And I think of so many who treat Christ that way, treat God that way. I thank God for what he's given me. But then when it comes to Sunday, or when it comes to a time of worship or Bible study, we become so distracted in life, we forget who we are to thank. Maybe they think that they deserve blessings from God. The lepers might think, well, I didn't deserve leprosy. I just got it. And God should have healed me anyways. Some people think that way. Of course, God should give me the things that I have in my life. That's the thinking of many people. I don't have to thank him. He deserves to, and he should give it to me. The thinking of many, especially in regards to salvation. And maybe the nine, maybe they had to do something like the lepers did, or maybe we think that way, that we need to do something like the lepers did, and that obeying is enough. And I think many Christians, this is where we fall in. God tells me to do something. He gives the plan of salvation in the Bible, and I've heard the gospel, and I've believed it, and I confess it, and I've repented of my sins, and I've been baptized, and I believe in him. So my job is done. I don't really have to focus that much more on him or thank him anymore. I'll just keep trying as best I can to obey him, and that's it. And they think there's no reason to praise God and to praise Christ. So you can see these reasons right here. Why the nine? They did what Christ told them to do. They obeyed him. They received the blessing of being cleansed. They didn't do what they should have done and come back and thanked him. We need to thank God. In fact, it makes us a whole person, a spiritual person. Mature Christians, this is what they do. They thank God. The Bible warns us about this. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible talks about how people become unbelievers. And he says unbelievers do this. They don't thank God. They don't recognize God. And they don't glorify God. And, you know, there's another lesson right there, how to become an atheist. You know, you don't recognize him, you don't thank him, and you don't glorify him. If you want to live a life that is simply, well, I believe in God, but I'm not going to thank him, then you're going to go throughout your life not recognizing him, not thanking him, and not glorifying him. And we see all that there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. We want to stay away from that. The scriptures say, Paul warns of right here, you don't go down that route because it's going to lead to unbelief. You're going to fall for foolishness around you. You're going to be deceived by the world around you. You want to become a whole person, that's what you need to do. So what is God's will for Christians to be thankful? This is what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. He says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Whether you're a leper or not, whether you have a disease or not, whether you're struggling in life or not, you thank God in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And we want to be reminded of that. I need to thank God at all times, in all circumstances. I need to rejoice and pray without ceasing. Part of that praying is right here in Philippians 4. Now, many people struggle today with depression, depressing, having worries and concerns that overwhelm them, stress that gives them tight pain within their chest, stress that causes them to live in fear and to seclude themselves from others. And the Bible has the answer to this problem. We want to open our Bibles and look here now at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, and look at what the scriptures say. I want to be a whole person. I want to be a thankful person. I want to be able to address anxieties and worries in my life the way that Christ would have me to do. I encourage you, this is the passage you want to read. You want to pray with thanksgiving. And there's a promise here. If you pray to God with thanksgiving, God will guard your hearts and minds. That anxiety will go away. So let's look here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Sounds familiar. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You want peace in your life. You want to obey God. You want to think on these positive things. But backing up here in Philippians, listen to what Paul says again in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is to ask God to supply you what you need. And he says to do it all with thanksgiving. I think sometimes we say prayers and we leave out the thanksgiving. God, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. And we don't thank him for what we have. We wonder why. Well, I pray to God and I want the peace that surpasses understanding to take away my anxiety. And I always wonder what's missing. And I pray to God for all these things, for him to take away the worry and the stress. But I don't do it with thanksgiving. I don't say, God, I thank you for what you've given me. I thank you for my family. I thank you for specific people in my family. I thank you for my church family. I thank you for those who love me and my friends that are by me. I thank you for what you've given me, your word and salvation and Jesus Christ who died on the cross for me and rose again to give me a hope of eternal life. I encourage you this morning, you're dealing with stress, overwhelming anxiety, struggles in your life. Go to God in prayer, but more so, do it with thanksgiving. You know, you've often heard it said that those who are feeling down in life, that they should count their blessings. That's very true. You know, it's very hard to not count your blessings when you're thanking God for them. That's what you're doing. And when you pray, I encourage you this morning, put off that stress, put off the worry and anxiety. Pray to God with thanksgiving. It will change your actions, and it'll change the way that you feel and the way that you think every day. The more that you pray and you thank God in it. Thankfulness changes how you think, it changes how you believe, how you behave, how you feel. It's essential to faith, as we see in the book of Romans. In fact, the scriptures tell us, Paul revealed that those who abound in thanksgiving, this helps them. Those who do not abound in thanksgiving, it threatens their faith, compromises their faith. In fact, the Bible tells us over and over again, when we sing, we do so and to express thanksgiving to God. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20 and Colossians 3, 16. I think about Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29. He says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So not only do we sing together and we thank God for what he's given us, we thank God for a kingdom that cannot be moved. We have a kingdom that is the church that cannot be shaken. It is eternal, and our salvation is eternal. And he says, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship. Why? Because we're thankful for what he's given us. We're thankful for the church. And he says to give that worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And that word there, the consuming fire, is to give us hope. There's nothing we should fear, no enemy that faces us that can hurt us. Our God is a consuming fire. He is with us. I encourage you this morning, thank God for the resurrection that gives you hope of eternal life. Jesus rose from the dead. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at his example of thanksgiving. Verse 56 and 57, he says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul has just spoken all throughout 1 Corinthians 15, all the 50 verses or more before, all the way up to verse 56, saying, Christ rose from the dead. We know that he rose from the dead. We have witnesses. We have evidence that he rose from the dead. He shows an example. One day, on the last day, when Christ comes back, you will be bodily raised from the dead. And his conclusion is, thank God for that. Thank God for eternal life. I encourage you this morning to express that thanks. Thank God for the salvation you have, every detail of it, the concept of rising one day and living eternally in paradise. Thanksgiving is an expression of faith and hope, and it's one that demonstrates that we have a part of that victory. I challenge you this morning, thank God for your own sake. You'd be well-balanced in your life so you could put off stress. Remember your Creator. Remember Him. Remember that you've been made in His image. I want to emphasize this as well. God commands you to be thankful. He commands you to give thanks. And I believe there's a number of reasons we looked at this morning for that. Thank God that you do not lose faith and hope. I mean, really, you've got to thank God or your faith will become weak and you'll struggle. Recognize and glorify God in song. Listen to Psalm 95, verse 2. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving and let us make a joyful noise to the Lord with songs of praise. Listen to Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. I encourage you this morning, challenge you to do those things. Thank God. You know what it's like to be overwhelmed with gratitude? I hope you had that feeling. Most of us had that feeling when we were baptized. We come out of the waters of baptism, and we feel overwhelmed. Sometimes I baptize someone, and I've done this a few times, and they will just stand there and pause for a minute. I have to ask them, are you okay? They're like, I'm just, you know, just in the moment thinking about what has happened, thankful to God that my sins have been washed away. I encourage you this morning, you want to be overwhelmed with gratitude, accept the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. I encourage you this morning, and I ask you this question, can you thank God for saving you? I hope that you can. If you haven't been baptized into Christ yet, you cannot yet thank him for that, but you can once you've been immersed. Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you need to be baptized into Christ, you can do that. If you need to come forward and be encouraged with prayer because of the stress and the heartaches in your life, I encourage you to do that. Please come right now while we stand and while we sing.